fine. However, I propose that we leave tomorrow's agenda to tomorrow. I don't think that we can do justice to those issues in any time we might have remaining today. So if we finish early today, that will be a reward to all of us, but we won't push for any of the other things. Our hosts tell me that the dinner tonight is in the same room where we had lunch. For those of you who eat dinner, I do not over the past year, so I won't join you, but Amaro will be there to represent me. Pardon me? I'll leave that to your judgment. And those of you who plan to attend the Tango show, you do meet at the address that's listed here. Those of you who are old, like me, do we have directions or a map or anything to the... Okay. Yeah.
Just look at it. Easy to realize. That's fair game.
The chair will refrain from editorial comment on that. So, we are now on issue 3 on agriculture, which has to do with the initial measurement attribute for bearer biological assets. And I guess if one was to take the predominant use view, then that would also be the measurement attribute you would use for reclassifications. But the point being that nothing starts in its life as a bearer biological asset. It has to undergo biological transformation before it reaches a stage of maturity. I think in my mind, but I'm open to any other alternatives, there are two competing views. One would be that when something reaches the point that it can be classified as a bearer biological asset, you then take it at its fair value at that point, and that becomes what we call deemed cost. So that becomes its historical cost from thenceforward. That focuses on the biological transformation attribute. The other view would say, no, this is no different than a building that a company assembles and builds for itself. And under IAS 16, report the construction profit that is inherent in any self-constructed asset. So the fees that you would pay somebody else to build it for you, we don't include those. We just record the debits that are offset by credits to cash. So those are the two competing views that I can visualize, but I'm certainly open to any others. And again, our point would be to make a recommendation to the board of what the sense of views is around this table. So I would open it to comments. South Africa.
Kim from South Africa. I must say that if we're going to propose a model where we're going to allow the bearer biological assets to be treated sort of like property, plant, and equipment, and we're expecting that if we propose that model, most companies would choose the cost model, I don't really see the logic then of fair valuing the bearer biological asset during its initial growth stage. As we said, I guess there's always biological transformation while the plant is alive. To me, it doesn't really make sense to fair value it just for a portion of its life, because again, I thought the whole premise on which the proposal is based is that the bearer biological asset itself, you know, is not going to be sold, and it's therefore, you know, as I said, the machine for producing whatever the output is. So to me, I don't really understand then the logic of fair valuing that asset during the initial growth stage prior to it being productive. So to me, it seems to be inconsistent with the overall proposal.
You can find some good information there, because one problem with the fair value model is that you can find a lot of movement in the value that seems not to represent the business. You have increases and decreases of the value producing results in your income statement that your common sense says this is not related with the business in the way we are moving. If you can recognize the value of the biological asset at the moment when it is transformed in biological asset, you will have a better measurement of the value. Sure, I am sure it's a better measure. And you will eliminate the fluctuations in the future. So you have to fair value during the first part of the biological transformation is the grow at the maturity, and then you will stay amortizing the residual value. I don't like the use of the cost model in this order, but I am trying to think, if I accept the cost model, this is an alternative view. I recognize it's practical, the solution, not conceptual, because I prefer fair value for every moment.
Maybe just to respond, but I think it goes back to some of the comments that Nelson mentioned. I mean, if we believe that, you know, fair value provides much more useful information, well, then we should just be fair valuing from step one until the end. If, however, we believe that for these bare biological assets, there is a scope for saying, well, fair value is not required, that you could go cost, then, as I say, to me, it just seems inconsistent then for a portion of its life to fair value this item. So I think, as I say, personally, I think if we're going to be proposing a cost model, then it should be a cost model from day one, and not a fair value model for part of its life.
Dato, you raised the concern that in your mind IAS 41 impounds all the value growth at the beginning. If we were to say that the measurement attribute on becoming BBA was fair value, you'd still have that same problem, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you will still have that same problem. Conceptually, I agree very much with what you have said. For biological, I said it's very hard to get, away, with it at the immature stage. I mean, that argument is hard to, argue against. But in this case, for the BBAs that, we have in mind, it really distorts the whole thing. If you work it out, it is actually a zero-sum game, Unlike consumable biological assets, where when you fair value it, it should approximate the type of cash flow that you're going to get. But not for, plantation trees where, you chop it down at the end of the day. So it really distorts. At the beginning, you overtake the gains, and subsequently you cough it all out. So that is the problem we have. But of course, it's possible to get around it, I guess, in the sense that one can argue that at the immature state, there is a lot of uncertainty, and therefore one could argue a case that, before it reaches maturity, you don't recognize the fair value gain, or at least not to the income statement.
Rosita, you've been very quiet this morning. Did you want to weigh in on this issue?
I am a supporter of that the premise is the BBA should be treated like PPE. So it means from the beginning, we should consistently measure as it is a PPE. So the mixture between the fair value and also the cost, the what is the conceptual basis for that? So it creates another inconsistency, I think. So for example, like investment property, even though since from day one, your intention is investment property, you still use cost model until it is finished, and then after that, then you measure at fair value. So I think that's consistent with whatever that we have. That's my view.
Chen Chao from China. I supported the cost method for the BBA because based on current conceptual framework and also other relevant standards for long-term assets which held for use, normally cost method are applied, and we believe that and for the assets which held for sale, then maybe fair value measurement are much more relevant to those assets. But for the assets, for the long-term assets, which are held for use, on the current conceptual framework, cost method may be much more relevant to the users, in my understanding. Because if we look at intangible assets, PPEs, as well as other relevant assets. So from my point of view, in order to achieve, you know, consistency with other standards, I prefer cost method for the better biological assets.
Daniel from Prokopovich from Russia. I see also the obvious conflict of two logics. From one point of view, we say that biological assets should be treated accounting according to IAS 41, and according to IAS 41, we should measure, reflect the results of biological transformation. So if the biological assets is undergoing the biological transformation, it should be measured on fair value in order to reflect the performance of the company. So maybe the company growing this plantation for sale. They're just growing, and in 20 years it will be sold. So for investors, it will be useful to understand, to see what is the fair value. Either we will sold these plantations with land, either we can continue to use these plantations. From point of view, upon their maturity, from point of view of from IAS 41, from the logic of IAS 41, we should measure it according to fair value. But if we say that the biological assets should be treated like property, plant, and equipment, there is another logical, that another inconsistency, that if why we don't measure according to fair value the unfinished building, so we should not manage unfinishing plantations also. But still, I think that we should measure the undergoing biological transformation according to fair value, but reflect this not in the profit or loss statement, but in other comprehensive income. In other comprehensive income, so it will reflect the performance of the biological transformation of agricultural activity, but because it is still agricultural activity, they are growing up the long-term biological assets. So, but I can understand that for our colleagues, it will not solve the race problem. Yeah.
When two alternative approaches were suggested, and I did not see them to be debated since we started in the morning. There was a suggestion that perhaps we should allow BBA to be treated similarly to investment property, not in terms of fair valuing here or there, but allowing the preparer to take the decision to use one or the other. And the second suggestion that was raised was perhaps we should consider the possibility of projecting future cash flows from that particular asset, discounting them at a given interest rate, and recording the value in use as we usually do in the impairment tests. Let me explore a little bit of your vast experience in standard setting and living in that environment. Do you see any sound technical objections to any of these being followed?
Well, I think my official title is non-voting chairman, so so strictly personal views. I think value in use is meaningless. It's not the value anybody would pay. If it's a different number, it must be some kind of a value to the entity. And it's fairly poorly defined. It only appears in IFRS and the impairment test. Fair value to me is since the advent of IFRS 13, a much more clearly stated measurement attribute or objective. The difference between the two is typically in the cash flow assumptions, because IAS 38 says that the discount rate has to be market consistent, so it would only be in the cash flow assumptions. So I'm troubled by how I would make that work. Now, the idea of the option is tempting, except that the IASB is supposed to be eliminating options, not creating new ones. And so the idea of an option for bearer biological assets, in my personal view, would hinge on how you approach the scope. If you took a predominant use test, you'd see a better argument for an option to sort of maximize the ability of management to do something. Whereas if you took no alternative use test, it seems to me you have to pick an attribute. So those are just personal reflections. I don't get to vote in board meetings, tragically, so it doesn't even matter there. Anyone else on this one, please?
Actually, Abdurrahman from Saudi. Actually, before we speak about the option, we would like to decide whether the option is there or not. If we speak about the plantation, it's infancy period of life. Is the cost, usually when we read in the IFRS, the cost at the initial measurement usually represent the fair value. It's the consideration paid, usually cash or fair value of the consideration. But for the plantations, or even for the animal like calf or balm or whatever, what's the cost of these assets at the initial measurement? For the plantations, it depends on the quality of the land, the weather, everything's before the maturity. So I think the cost option is not a real option.
So you'd say to continue fair value until it's mature, and then... Yes, please.
So also I am a supporter of fair value, but I can give a solution for how to divide. So we can divide the bare assets to plants and animals, and for animals it clearly is possible to value them at fair value. But for plants, there is an option to value them measurement at costs. But still, I think that value is better.
I guess this raises the point then as to, well, if some people are proposing that we go with fair value during the growth phase, well then, perhaps going back to Nelson's initial point, well, why don't we just fair value continuously? I don't know, am I missing the point here? If we think that we should be fair valuing during the growth stage, now I guess I do understand that you've got the biological transformation as well as, I suppose, other changes in the market prices for the ultimate commodity factoring into that fair value. Presumably once the plant is now at its mature stage, it doesn't have any more biological transformation, we're saying, per se. And I guess you just then got the impacts of the changes in the commodity price. But I'm sort of maybe struggling to understand some of the arguments for wanting to go with this proposal when we now looks like we're saying, well, there should be fair value during this this growth stage. I don't know. I'm struggling to understand the logic, perhaps.
If I were going to offer a logic, I think I would build on what our friend from Saudi Arabia said. Usually, the consideration paid is an approximation of fair value. And so we don't get disturbed or upset about the fact that there may be some differences there, because usually you think that that's an arm's length transaction. That breaks down in two circumstances: biological assets and internally constructed assets, where all of a sudden the consideration paid is somehow divorced from fair value because of the way in which the asset was created. I think that would be the conceptual argument you would make if you were going to support a fair value at the point of classification approach. As I'm not married to either, but if I was going to put my Jesuit hat on and try to argue both sides, that's the way I would argue it.
Just in response to that, I thought, though, that the concern was that fair valuing these bare biological assets doesn't seem to make sense because you don't intend to sell the asset. So, again, I think there's sort of conflicting sort of views here because, so, I mean, certainly I do not dispute the fact that, yes, whatever the cost is does not represent the value. I mean, that's a given. But if we're saying, well, we don't want to, well, some are saying that they don't want to recognize it at fair value because you are not going to be selling the item, so what is the use of this fair value in that context? And so I'm still struggling to then understand why we would want to fair value up to some point. So fully agree it's not the value of it, but then if we're recognizing the value during part of its life, why not recognize the value for the whole of its life?
A small point from dairy cattle experience. I'm not experienced, but I know from the Saudi cattle. They raise the calf until a certain time in their life, and at this time they will choose which one will be selected for dairy, which one will be slaughter. For example, the males usually the slaughters, and for the other males the so the meaning until the time of transfer. If it's transferred to be a bare biological or fixed asset, for example, it will be the fair value up to this point will be the deemed cost. So you will, from now, whether you use the revaluation model or the cost model, from this point. And the other points, it will be an inventory, for example, or harvested. So it has a meaning.
Okay, just to respond, are you talking therefore about livestock only? But if you're talking about plants, then are you also proposing that there be fair value while the palm trees are growing?
Absolutely, yes, because I say there's lots of factors that affecting the value of these. It's not the cost, because cost usually represents fair value at the initial recognition. But the weather, the quality of the land, everything affects its maturity value.
But why would you only want to fair value then the palm trees until they reach maturity and not continue to fair value them?
Because I took the users or the information users needs. When you reflect the fair value until the maturity, you provide information that will affect their decision. But the cost will not represent. For example, if we compare two companies, one company has a very high quality of land. They have high expert in planting these trees and very minimal cost on this kind of plants. And the other company, not. They spend a lot on this kind of plants. When you compare two of these values, it's actually misleading the users. Because in the financial statements, it's a big miss for the users, which it's observable, otherwise no. You will provide the users with the information that's very useful to their decision making, especially for listed companies.
Maybe to respond to your comment, I fully agree with you that on the practical, standpoint, it doesn't quite make sense to, fair value, when it's immature and then subsequently not to fair value. But I think what we are coming from is if we were to be perfectly honest on a, conceptual basis, and coming from the fact that, the original IAS 41 is about biological assets, and we accept the concept of biological transformation, then clearly when it is immature, you cannot argue against biological transformation. And so it's very hard to argue a case for not fair valuing it to be consistent with the other biological assets. But what we are saying is that once it matures, then the biological transformation is not in a drastic or dramatic way anymore. And it functions, although there is still, biological transformation, but one can argue that once it matures, it functions more like, a PPE. So really, bottom line is, we would really like not to fair value it all the way, but we need to find, a conceptual way out, to be honest, about the immature stage. But I fully agree that the bottom line is, we would want it to be cost all the way, but how to get a conceptual, argument that would stand out, for that to take effect. I think that is what we are trying to do. Okay?
I think what I'm hearing is basically this side of the table would go with fair value at turnover date. And this side of the table would go with a cost accumulation, I'll call it, rather than historical cost, throughout the life. And my note just says conflicting assertions. So we will tell the board that. We're not going to gain a lot of ground anymore on this issue. Amaro?
I think the discussion is quite interesting. Just can you please, if possible, comment about, of course, the ones that are not here, they don't express their views, but do you know roughly where the others stand in this issue? Are they seen as a technical matter, or measurement should be cost, accumulated cost, or fair value, or is this a case of practicality? Or the impossibility or to mark then to market or something?
Well, I guess the first question I'd have to ask you is who the others are.
Oh, India.
India.
And I don't know if Mexico. There are others that...
I've never discussed this issue with Felipe in Mexico, so
yes.
I honestly don't know where he would stand on it. My speculation is, from several discussions with the Indians, would be that they would prefer a historical cost throughout approach. Was that consistent with yours, Dato?
Yeah. I think the working group, because we were advocating that it be carved out to IS-16, and IS-16 allows for both cost or revaluation, so that about leaves it to the entity, really, you know, whether you go for cost or, you know, revaluation. So that was.
Okay. Concluding remark?
But the problem is when we start to imply the AS-16 from the major time or from the very beginning. So my view is that we, according to AS-41, we have to reflect all the biological transformation according to IS-41. It means according to fair value. So until the major, this is a biological transformation, and the results should be reflected at fair value. And then, if you want to sell, you can sell. If you want to use, you take this as a deemed cost and use and amortize and so on. So this will be another business, another cycle.
As I say, conceptually, yeah. To be honest, it would be very hard to argue against that, you know, an immature state. But I would like to share some observation. Number one, with respect to cost, you know, for the oil palms and the rubber trees, it's not an issue. And the cost to maturity is quite substantial, really, because it takes approximately 3 years for the trees to mature. So cost to maturity will include the upkeep and all that. So accumulated over 3 years is quite a substantial sum, and it is a fairly consistent range. You know, you don't really run that much from company to company. So that is, you know, on the cost side. The other thing which I pick up from what Wayne said on fair value, which I've never thought before, is this: if you at immature stage, if one fair value on the basis of what is the possible market value, you can get a value that is, I should think, fairly more acceptable and more workable than, say, if you were to fair value using value in use, DCF, you know, for 25 years all the way. I think there is a dramatic difference that way. So on fair valuing using a market approach, I think if we write that in, that must be the approach, then perhaps, you know, it may be workable. But if it is, you know, DCF on value in use, it gives a completely, you know, way out distortive figure.
Okay. As I say, we have two views here, and we will report them both to the board. That brings us to the last issue that I planned to raise, although I am certainly open and we have time for others if time permits. Having made the decisions, if the board makes the decisions that this along the lines that this group has made, then the question is, what additional guidance, if any, do we need to put into IS-16? One of the challenges that my colleagues at the board who were around for the IS-41 discussion say that some board members found persuasive was the difficulty in defining the unit of account for cost accumulation purposes, and that they believed that fair value was independent of the unit of account. Not sure that's true, but they believed it at the time, and that was certainly one of the factors that influenced their judgment. So the question that I raise in issue number 4 is, what, if anything more, would the board need to do to provide people with enough guidance to use some kind of a cost and amortization-based model for bearer biological assets? And I'm open to suggestions. My Chinese colleagues had some thoughts this morning. Maybe you'd like to share with us. you said additional things that we might need to do with IAS 16 if we put BBA in IAS 16.
One observation we are thinking that if we put BBA in the IAS 16, the one issue is actually relevant to presentation, because on the current IAS 16 actually only mentioned the disclosure relevant to property, plant, and equipment. But as we all know that actually for biological assets, for very biological assets, there's some difference. Well, yeah. As the telecom talk mentioned, so actually we may need some discussion of guidance on the disclosure part for the very biological assets. If we will agree with that, the approach we will use IAS 16 approach to account for very biological assets. This is the one issue I would like to raise. And just relevant to BBA or other issues?
To BBA.
To BBA, okay. It's just one. Any point? Yeah, just one issue. Okay. I think about further. Okay.
Dato, you made the observation, I think, at the beginning of the day that you manage the process on sort of a block basis so that you don't go in and cut down trees individually. You'll clear a hectare and then rebuild it and replant it. Okay. Is that others' experience?
Just want to add that I think that unit of account should be, as usual, the same unit as the asset is managed or controlled. So if the cattle normally managed by heads or by herds, grouped. The plants are normally managed by fields or by biological cycles. So I don't see any problems from this point of view. But it should be reflected. The unit of account should be the same as managed and controlled.
Yeah, some of the things that I think the board needs to look at, I think the unit of account is a big issue. And when you say, well, you know, suggestion would be the way it's managed, I guess the thought that goes through my mind is that let's say you've got, you know, a whole, you know, apple orchard and, you know, a third of the trees get destroyed by fire or something like that. You know, now how do you apply derecognition? How do you apply impairment? Do you do it for the entire orchard? And are we saying, well, as long as the whole orchard is going to generate a profit, well, then I don't need to impair anything? So I think the unit of account is a big issue for derecognition and for impairment. And when looking at impairment, you know, diseases and things like that, how you actually deal with some of those things. Also, the cost during the growth stage. Now, I suppose that's going to depend upon what accounting model gets applied during that growth stage, whether or not it is fair value or if we're going with cost. You know, what do you then? How do you deal with certain costs during then the productive stage? You know, talking about irrigation, spraying, feeding, fertilizers, all of those things. You know. Does one regard some of those things like for property, plants, and equipment as simply being repairs and maintenance? But of course, because this is a living, you know, a living thing, you need all these things to keep the plant alive. So I think that there needs to be guidance on whether or not all of those costs just simply get capitalized or not. And then the point that I raised earlier on is around the agricultural produce. Now, I don't know, say, if that's something which is going to be a consequential, or have a consequential impact as a result of the proposed amendment. But, do we not need to think about the accounting for the agricultural produce? And are we simply going to follow the current requirements in IS 41 and recognize that at fair value at the point of harvest? So, you know, again, it almost sounds like under one of the proposed approaches we've got is you fair value during the growth stage, then you stop fair value, then you have your plantation at depreciated cost, and then at the point of harvest, you then recognize your apples or whatever, you know, the produce is at fair value, even prior to sale. Now, some of the concerns that were expressed in my jurisdiction is that the timing of the harvest is going to have an impact on the results that you show. So if you haven't harvested at year end, you don't show this value. If you, you know, happen to have harvested by year end, then you show all this value, whereas in reality, the value is there. It's just now, how do you record it? So, again, I think the question would be, is that if we're going with cost for the bearer biological assets, why do we recognize the produce at fair value? Why don't we follow then what we do with the output of other PPE items and that you only recognize the value once you sell the item? So I think that that needs to be looked at as well.
That's an interesting question. I may be naive, but I would have expected that if you had produce growing on a bearer biological asset, the produce would be a consumable biological asset. And therefore, the halfway mature apples would be at the fair value of halfway mature apples, even though the tree was a bearer biological asset. That's what I would have expected.
Well, that is what I think wasn't clear. So maybe, Dato, maybe you could explain, you know, is that the case? Because I think that there was a little bit unclear. And certainly some people have read the papers in meaning that you don't account for all of those. And some have raised exactly the point that you've raised, Wayne, as well. Well, you know, aren't they consumable biological assets? So maybe if we can get clarity on that, that certainly would be very useful.
We have experience about using this mixed model. Normally, we tend not to use fair value for bare biological asset plants because it's applying paragraph 30. You cannot find a logic measure in contingent form to value of fair value, so we use cost for the plant. But we fair value the fruits. We have a growing crop in apples, so we, at the first stage we are recognizing cost, and when you can measure in a fair way the product you will say, you can cash made of cash flows, you fair value the fruits. So we have two different assets, the plant and the fruits.
I think, if I remember correctly, the working group took the view that if they are still attached to the plant, or if the calf is still in the womb of the, you know, the mother cow, then, well, it's part of the original bearer asset, and there should not be a separate value, you know, to it. But you start recognizing at the point of harvest.
We made the difference between animals and plants because it's two different. We have markets for animals in all its development stages. So is and people managing the business use their fair value. Nobody cares about the cost. They use for business the fair value. But in the plants case, we have lemons, apples, etc. They use cost. So this is the way the people manage their business. So we reflect in our accounting the same. We don't use cost never for animals.
Amaro?
in the same point, just to clarify my understanding. So what you mentioned is that it's cost during, I would use my own word, growth period, and then at harvest point, doesn't matter if you have harvested or not, it's there to be harvested, it's fair value. Is that what we're saying? No, because then only when it is harvested is very much different from harvest point, because the apple could be perfectly good to be harvested, has a market value, I can harvest, I can sell. And so this, there is a fair value at this point, but only when I harvest can be a way to structure your and smooth results and everything. So that's I have no idea. I just would like to clarify what I heard.
I think Dato mentioned that while it's still attached to the plant, it's regarded as being part of the plant. So that does therefore go to your concern around the fact that you can structure your profits just by leaving it on the plant or taking it off. So
no, but do you use the fair value model for fruits even when they are attached to a plant? Because you can calculate in a proper way how much, how many fruits you will obtain, which is the expected quality, which is the future market, so you can prepare a very trustable cash flow. So we use this for the last stages of development, we use fair value.
Under IAS 41, that's exactly what we would be doing. But my understanding under the proposals.
Yeah. No. No.
Yes.
I think you will vary from plant the specific product, the specific agriculture produce. Like in the case of palm oil, the fruits actually don't ripen all at the same time. You know, you harvest it continually throughout the year. So it doesn't make sense to assess what is, you know, fair value on the tree. So so for all practical intents and purpose, you fair value at a point of harvest. But I can appreciate the fact that, you know, if it's an orchard of apples and whatnot, theoretically, you know, you can actually kind of lease it out or sell the whole thing to someone to harvest, and so there is you can already attach a value to it. The fact that it's harvestable, you know, not necessarily harvested. So I say, so there could be, you know, a leeway or room for, you know, to adapt it to the specific agriculture produce.
Also want to add some points to this international discussion concerning the point of the harvest. In Russia, for example, we have also problems with this point of harvest. For example, potatoes, when we take it from at the point of harvest, when we take it from the ground, the market costs becomes so low that they are maybe three times lower than costs, initial costs. So if we will measure the fair value on this market price at the harvest point, so it will be clear the losses from accounting from the agricultural business or agricultural activity, and this. But normally, it will be not reflect the normal agricultural profit from the growing of potatoes, for example, because normally companies don't sell at this point, at this harvest point. They keep it in storages and sell after some months at normal price. But if we will use such practice, so we measure it at very low cost at the harvest time, at the harvest point, and fix the losses from the agricultural business, and then so we transfer all the price not to, from agricultural business to the trading operations. So it contradicts with the idea of IAS 41 to reflect the normal profit from agricultural business. That's why I propose to solve somehow this problem, or maybe to to clarify that the harvest point will could be different, or we can use another not the market prices at this point of time, but expected the normal market prices. And also another problem, for example, at the same time, sometimes in order to measure the fair value, the agricultural produce should be treated somehow before calculated how it will how the price will be. For example, if we again the potatoes take harvest them in the during the in the raining weather, so we harvest it with mud, and first of all we have to separate it from mud, and then we can from maybe a month later we can calculate the fair value of this harvest. So not in the point of the harvest, but a little bit after.
Two observations. I think for many crops, you don't actually have a lot of flexibility on when you harvest. Delaying the harvest exposes you to, I suspect, enormous risk. That certainly wouldn't be true, I guess, of anything that you harvest year-round, but seasonal crops you would. The other thing is I'm not sure that I know what a normal price is. If you believe in that, there are some folks at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange who'd love to take your money. That's interesting. On this issue that I didn't think would attract any attention, I have more notes than on any other. So, other comments, observations? Please.
So another point is, as I said, it auxiliary accounting agricultural produce, auxiliary that is used for in other cycles. For example, when we harvest the grass for feed of cows. So in this point of view, we have to, from the point of view of IS 41, we have to measure this harvest of grass at fair value. But normally it, there is a sense that it's just a work in progress for another cycle. So, and I think that it should be accounted as a work in progress for another cycle, this auxiliary accounting produce, agricultural produce.
I can't resist telling a story. When I was a very young accountant, I worked on an account, and the company had started off growing grass for sod that people would put into their yards. And then the gentleman who ran it decided that what he could do was to cut the grass first, pelletize it, and feed it to chickens. And the chicken droppings he could then turn into fertilizer to put on his sod farm. The moral of the story was 5 years later, the whole thing was sold as a residential development, so it didn't. But I apologize for that digression. Other comments on the challenges of a cost model, please?
Can I ask any question at this point? I don't have any comment. I just ask something. Well, according to the paragraph 19A of the STEP papers, it says, should the board proceed with the limited amendment, a comprehensive review, or not pursue any project? I was asking 1 hour ago, but I was trying to ask this question. It says, or not pursue any project. It means ISP do nothing, and we do nothing on this matter. What do you expect if we do nothing at this time?
Well, the way I summarized the discussion when we were talking about that point was that while there were many people who would like a broader reconsideration, there was no objection to a limited project on biobiological assets. So do nothing, which always has to be an alternative, was taken off the table. So I think the sense of the group was to support a limited amendment, even though some people would like to do a lot more. Is that still a fair statement?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what he had in mind was that an alternative would be to just leave IS 41 untouched. But I didn't hear any support for that alternative. Yeah.
Just one more. We are a group of 13 or 12, right? Maybe one of us say do nothing. So you have the option.
Please go ahead.
I agree with the limited scope amendment, but I think the rationale is very clear in IS 41. For those who have limited experience, and for example, we don't have problems in applying IS 41 because we have clear that in paragraph 30 we have the exclusion of fair value measurement.
You have the standard.
Yes.
I don't think that's true.
I think the exclusion applies only to initial recognition. So once you've initially recognized
but if you never have.
No, you have to remeasure every single period.
No. Let me see. Paragraph. I lost my computer, so this is a presumption that the fair value can be measured. The presumption can be rebutted only on initial recognition, for which created market prices are not available and for which alternative fair value measurements are determined to be clear and reliable. If you go to year one and you cannot have a fair value measurement clearly reliable, you will continue using cost because you cannot make a reliable measure. We understand in that way.
That's not the interpretation that any board member I have ever spoken to would put on it, including the ones who were around when it was written. That exception was for day one, year one. Day one, year two, you have a fair value.
This is the reason. I think we can limit the amendment. You can make clear if you can't make a reliable measure, fair value measurement, you can continue using cost. If you make this limited amendment, I think we have the solution.
I would tell you that I do not believe any board member would support that.
Probably.
and I don't believe any of them who were around for IAS 41 believed that that was the answer that it was given. Nelson is shaking his head no.
I think this is the correct interpretation. Not that this is the...
The ghost of Warren McGregor will haunt you because that he told me many times. I actually tried that argument. And he said, forget it. It won't work. We talked about it. No way. Period. So that would be as radical as creating an amendment. So that's like going through and changing every word to no, every yes to no. That's a small change, but okay, I think we've exhausted this topic as well. I won't try to summarize because I have too many notes. And because I fully expect to listen to the recording or to force our staff to listen to the recording because this is obviously a bigger area than I had expected it to be. The observation I would make is that some of the points are ones that always exist and we're happy to ignore, like cost absorption. You know, that always is around. We just don't pay any attention to it most of the time. So I think the challenge for the IASB will be in identifying the ones of these that it really does need to deal with and the ones that can be happily left to whatever we mean by principles-based guidance. Okay. Any concluding remarks about agriculture? Going once, going twice. One more on agriculture.
Yeah, not more concluding, but just I want to attract attention that we need a special treatment for short-term plant growing. For Russia, it's necessary. Short-term plant growing, when the crops are grown and they will be harvested within a few months. So there is no point to measure it at fair value.
I was with you till the end. We have the same situation in most of the United States. That's why we grow Russian wheat in most of the United States, because that's the kind that grows best. But
measure it at fair value.
It's managed on a fair value basis, I'll tell you.
At your end.
Number one, most farms in the United States are not public companies, and so they don't actually have to go through the exercise. Most farmers I know who grow things like cows and wheat and corn and things like that manage on a fair value basis. And your point about trading profits, that's why they buy grain silos, so that they can maximize their trading profits. So, okay. With that, the public's part of the session is completed. And so